I'm Tom, and I used to be sleepy. Totally useless in the morning. I'd snooze my water glass and try to drink my alarm clock. Or confuse my toothpaste with fungus cream. Cringe. But no longer, thanks to my Nectar mattress with its premium memory foam and Nectar Cool technology. Every mattress includes a one-year trial, forever warranty, and free shipping. With $200 off, prices start at only $399 and come with $499 of premium accessories. So rest easy and visit NectarSleep.com.
This is Scientific American's 60 Second Science. I'm Karen Hopkin. Some words imitate the sounds made by the things they describe, like buzz, or hiss, or zip. For you language lovers, that's called onomatopoeia. But what if the way a word sounds could evoke some other feature of an object, like its shape? Well, a new study suggests not only that it can, but that the same word can do so across multiple languages. The findings are in the journal Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society B. The researchers were interested in studying the evolution of language.
Both the ancient origins of language, going back hundreds of thousands of years ago, or maybe even millions of years ago, and also the ongoing evolution of modern languages.
Marcus Perlman, a lecturer at the University of Birmingham in the UK. He says that a century ago, linguists insisted that the words we assign to various objects and actions are essentially arbitrary, and that words don't necessarily resemble or sound like the things to which they refer.
There's nothing doggy-sounding about the word dog or feline-sounding about the word cat.
Well, that makes sense, because different languages have different words for the same thing. One person's pup is another one's perro.
But there's a lot of evidence now suggesting that the arbitrariness doctrine is proving to be false.
Onomatopoeia is a case in point. And so is sign language, which makes frequent use of gestures that resemble their reference, like tracing the tracks of tears as a symbol for crying. To further explore this connection between words and their meanings, Perlman and his colleagues turned to something called the Buba-Kiki effect.
What it is about is that when you see two shapes, one looks like a cloud or like a flower, it's kind of roundish, and the other one is more spiky, maybe looks more like a star. And when you're asked to say which one is buba, you will be more likely to point to a rounded one, and for kiki, to a spiky one.
Alexandra Trick of the Leibniz Center General Linguistics in Berlin. She says that if you were to look at the words buba and kiki, which are totally made up, one possible explanation for the effect could be the appearance of the letters.
The shape of B-O-U-B-A, right? The shapes of those letters kind of evoke the sense of roundness. These letters are round.
But what happens when you don't see the words, but hear them? And does it matter what language the listener speaks?
So we thought that would be a wonderful idea to just study Buba-Kiki across the world.
With the help of 22 different collaborators, the researchers tested the Buba-Kiki effect in 25 different languages, from Albanian and Armenian all the way to Zulu, with Farsi, French, and Finnish in between. Participants were told to look at the two shapes and then listen to the sound, either
Buba
or
Kiki.
Then they were asked which shape corresponds to the sound, whether they were German,
welche Form gehört zu diesem Klang,
or Spanish,
¿cuál figura corresponde al sonido?
Russian.
Для каждого слова, которое вы сейчас услышите, укажите, с какой из картинок оно у вас ассоциируется.
Or Thai.
Рубланг анай сод клонг кап сиянг ни.
Most participants said the rounder shape was buba and the pointy one was kiki.
This suggests that the effect is legit. It does seem to be driven by some widely observed correspondence between the spoken words and visual features of the shapes.
Well, there were some exceptions. Perlman says that speakers of Romanian, Turkish, and Mandarin Chinese were more likely to make the reverse call. Although my Turkish friend and her family fell squarely in the classic Buba-Kiki camp.
Baba has a round, fuller, and softer sound to it, and Kiki has a sharp and spiky sound, like the spiky shape.
As to what that could mean about the evolution of language, Imagine our early ancestors, when they started using spoken words to refer to things.
They couldn't say, "Listen, my friend, now we're going to call this new object a table."
So, to get the conversation off the ground, they probably tried to come up with sounds that somehow evoked the object at hand.
And as a general principle, it might be that new words that are heard to resemble their reference in some way or another would have been more likely to be understood and adopted by a wider community of speakers.
So if folks from far-flung cultures generally agree that booba is bulbous, while kiki is sharp,
it shows us the potential of those correspondences to have been relevant at the very dawn of language, that in fact our ancestors could have relied upon those when establishing the first word forms.
Shrek says she'd like to explore the effects of other nonsense words, ones that use different consonants and vowel sounds.
But also testing real vocabularies of languages across these possible dimensions that evoke the sense of roundness or sharpness or maybe other sensations in us. Because that might bring us closer to how the verse words came to be.
Which means that booba and kiki will not be the last word. Special thanks to my friends
Valerie Krieger,
Denise Dalma,
Yuri Lazebnik,
Su Hachia Tongteng,
and
Beri Asunar.
For Scientific Americans, 60 Second Science, I'm Karen Hopkins.
Booba, kiki.